Welcome to episode 5 of Is It Funny? With me, your host, who always forgets to say her name, Dr. Kate Laity. And I've been thinking about whether to call this episode Very Dull Men, or Boring, or even just Boredom, because of course every time I've been thinking about this episode, I'm hearing Pete Shelley's voice in my head and the Buzzcocks' Boredom. Boredom, boredom, bored, but-um, but-um. But even there, how the lyrics go, I can never remember off the top of my head. I'm acting dumb, acting like a boring person. And there's something really interesting about the overlap between boring people and comedy, because which seems a little counterintuitive, I guess. Most people do anything to avoid boring people, and boring people in life aren't funny. And that's kind of how you define, I guess, boring. Most people do what they can to avoid becoming a boring person. Most people who are self-conscious of the possibility do what they can to avoid. If you do a Google search, there are all kinds of ways to avoid being a boring person or recognizing the signs that you are a boring person, and which vary greatly from talking only on one topic, talking only about yourself, not paying attention to the reactions of others. And I want to first turn back always to my friend Monsieur Bergson, because I think there is one aspect of what he says about comedy that really applies here, and his sort of general summing up. And let me get the book out. While boring doesn't seem to immediately have anything to do with his kind of, what should I say, with his sort of mechanical approach to comedy, how's his definition? Let's see, this is in chapter 2. Any arrangement of acts and events is comic, which gives us, in a single combination, the illusion of life and the distinct impression of a mechanical arrangement. Now, what does that have to do with boring? Well, I think the conflict that makes boring people funny in the right situation is that sort of mechanicalness. They're behaving, on the one hand, as if they were human beings, but they're so unaware of proper, in scare quotes, human behavior, that they're acting like machines, talking machines mostly, that they just keep going on and on and on. And often there's a Monty Python routine comes to mind, that there's no way to get them to stop, short of killing them, which of course we do not encourage killing boring people, however dull they may be. In fact, I wrote a book called How to Be Dull, not necessarily trying to encourage people being dull, but finding a lot of humor in the fact that we are often stuck in situations that become boring. I mean, I don't understand people like, oh, I'm so bored. I have far too many things to do in any given day and not enough time to do them until exhaustion takes over and I do nothing. Well, even then, I probably don't do nothing. But there's a habit of life, of doing things, of creating things, that is so alien to the idea of being dull, that really, for me, dullness and boredom come from being stuck in situations. Meetings that go on too long. Meetings that don't really have a purpose. Not that I'm saying I've had a lot of those recently. But being in situations where you can't escape, that's what makes things dull and boring and things that you want to get around. And quite often in comedy, dull characters, boring characters, usually come out of that situation where your protagonist of whatever kind, the person that you do have sympathy for, is trapped with a very, very boring person and cannot get away from it. One of the most recent, hilariously funny, boring characters is Uncle Colm from Dairy Girls. And I mean, I admit to just wheezing with laughter when he's talking and just going on. And I think one of the things that makes him particularly funny is his inability to recall things quite directly, which terrifies me because I'm always forgetting important details. And so I live in dread of being incredibly boring. But he's always, well, was it the first story he told about these two, I think they were two IRA members. And well, the taller one, well, he wasn't that much. There's only about an inch between them. And every time, of course, they had to mention that there were two of them, he had to talk about the difference in height and then immediately undercut that by saying, well, there wasn't much of a difference between their heights. And this attention to the wrong details, which, again, there's another false song trying to work its way into this podcast. But this attention to detail, but meaningless details or irrelevant details, really makes an interesting part of the boring person. And droning on, talking about, you know, Watney's Red Barrel for the Python fans out there. But even better than Python, one of the crowning achievements of truly boring has to be the testing of Eric Althwaite from Ripping Yarns. And this Michael Palin, the most boring character in the world, who talks about, you know, rainfall gauges and the black pudding being really black. And again, this is something my brother and I say to each other all the time. Well, the black pudding's really black tonight. And so boring that his father speaks French in order not to have to talk to him. And if you haven't seen the testing of Eric Althwaite, Ripping Yarns is readily available. And I highly, highly recommend you check it out. Another very important sort of comedy person to me too, Vic Reeves, whose real name Jim Moyer, got his stage name by trying to come up with the most boring names possible. And I think I stole one for a character even. The LP that he did in the height of the early 90s comedy craze. I think, if I remember right, on the back of there was a list of some of the other alternative names that he had thought about using or somewhere. I don't know. I have all kinds of crazy memorabilia. But trying to come up with boring names is really just so perfect and so interesting. And of course, this is my way of working around to my favorite boring character. This, of course, brings me back to Peter Cook. And Peter Cook kind of innovated one particular character that began in his school days, a public school boy at Radley College. And they had a man who served at table who was named Mr. Boylett, another name that I have stolen. The forthcoming Mangrove Legacy, coming from Fox Spirit Books, will features a character named Arthur Boylett. Arthur Boylett was a very strange man who claimed to often see inanimate objects move. According to Peter Cook, who knows? But apparently other people at the time said yes. He was a very interestingly boring man. One of his other stories was allegedly the holy bee of Ephesus, who flew three times around Christ on the cross. And again, very specific but very uninteresting sort of details and things that fascinated Peter Cook. So once he started writing sort of comedy routines that use this character, he had to change his name because, of course, you know, he didn't want to use the real name of someone who inspired it. So Arthur Boylett became Arthur Grohl. And this is the name that was at the time when he wrote the sketch that was sometimes called Interesting Facts and sometimes called Astonishing Facts. It ended up in Pieces of Eight, the stage show he wrote for Kenneth Williams and Fenella Fielding. And later appears on A Poke in the Eye with a Sharp Stick, beginning with the fantastic line, two people sitting on a bench, and again recalling his similar sketch called Sitting on the Bench with the Miner that was in Beyond the Fringe. But sitting on the bench, two characters, and one of them with a cardboard box on his lap and saying, I've got a viper in this box. It's not an asp. Looks rather like one, but isn't. And again, this focus on a very specific, boring conversation opener in A Poke in the Eye with a Sharp Stick, it's John Cleese from Monty Python playing the usual sort of Cleese, pompous, irritable man. And increasingly veering from topic to topic, mosque to mosquitoes, but starting out with this viper that, of course, we never see in the box, eats like a horse, this viper. And, of course, the cue for John Cleese's character. Like a horse, eh? Oh, yes, yes, yes. I'd like a horse. Mind you, you'd never get a horse crammed into a little tiny box like this. This fascination with an incredibly strange and boring person continues, and he innovates again, and eventually this character becomes E.L. Wistie, who, of course, is the head of the World Domination League. And the World Domination League, which is, I think, started in 1964, which one of its aims is total world domination by 1958 or thereabouts. And I have an E.L. Wistie badge in my office on the pegboard there, and it says, may we dominate you. And it's very interesting that this very boring character comes up with these absurd notions and then just kind of follows them wherever they go. And this is very much a sort of Peter Cook style of comedy, with starting with absurdities and then trying to get into the details of them to make them, if not interesting, then at least unpredictable. And I think that unpredictability is an important part of the process. In some ways, I think insects are really a good encapsulation of that aspect of E.L. Wistie and these other boring characters, because they're very tiny and they're very interesting if you're interested in this kind of biology. But he really focuses on the tininess of insects, whether it's E.L. Wistie saying, bees should be trained to protect the government, protect the people, and attack foreign, influences of whatever kind, or his obsession with getting rid of all spindly insects, because, of course, spindly insects are bad, encouraging the development of happy little newts who should dance about in joy. I'm not sure that newts can really dance, but that's certainly part of it. And it bleeds over into other characters, like, of course, the notorious Sir Arthur Grebe Striebling, who teaches, or is that Striebe Griebling, who teaches ravens to fly underwater with incredibly poor success. He, in fact, has not managed to teach any of them over his long career of teaching ravens to fly underwater, which is probably for the best. I don't know. Why are boring people interesting in comedy when they are certainly not in real life? And again, I think it goes back to Bergson's mechanical idea of people behaving like machines or not behaving like human beings. I don't know. I don't want to go on too long because I don't want to become boring. See you next time.